Part 1. The Wash. Chapter 1. I was 20 minutes late for my appointment with the feral detective, because I drove past the place twice. In daylight, broad, flat morning, in a rental car with GPS that only sort of betrayed me. It was the feeling the place inspired that betrayed me worse. The feeling, specifically, that it was a place for driving past, and so my foot couldn't find the brake. White stucco with redwood-clad pillars and a terracotta tile roof. A deck ran around the second floor, accessible from stairs on the parking lot side. The windows were all barred. The signage at the various doors was either crappy plastic or just banners printed vertically, nailed through eyelets to the pillars. One said only tattoo, another spa. Upstairs, Warrior Sutra body piercing. In the window of spa, in front of closed curtains, neon bulbs in red and blue said open. I assumed I knew what spa meant in this case. It was 9 on a Saturday morning, January 14th, 2017. Or 9:20, since I was, as I said, late. It seemed impossible to be late for an appointment with anything at a building such as this. To make an appointment here was to have dropped through the floor of your life out of ordinary time. You weren't meant to be here at all, if you were me. Having missed the destination, I drove a ways on Foothill Boulevard before figuring it out. The malls and gas stations and chain restaurants took on the quality of a single repeated backdrop, such as Fred Flintstone would motor past. Space was different here. I doubled back and slowed. The building wasn't dark, exactly. Nothing could be in this glare. But it had a warty density that made it easy to miss. The problem was also the immediate surround. Beyond the parking lot, a wide-strewn trailer park. On the right, behind cyclone fence, a tundra of pits and heaped hills of gravel, in a lot the approximate size of Central Park. Maybe I exaggerate. I do. Half the size of Central Park. In this wasteland, the building seemed fake. It claimed a context where none was possible. I mean, human beings, ones you'd want to be or know. The power that had caused me to drive past was more than unappealing. The building made you aware of mental blinders. To park your car here was to not be who you thought you were. Maybe I wasn't now. Plus, the blue was killing me. I don't mean the blues, as in the white girl blues. I did have those, though I'd never resort to such bogus shit aloud. It was the blue of the sky that was killing me. That and the way, across the street with no sense of proportion or taste, snow-capped peaks argued intricately with the flat galactic blue. Beneath the peaks, white bandwidths of fog clung to the contours of rock. There was nothing like these in the sky itself. If I stared at the places where the blue met the white, it freaked me out. It was a thing you only saw in the movies with actors costumed as dwarves running up a CGI mountain. Except here there was no black frame, no exit sign floating in the periphery. Just the blue. I considered the word unearthly and then discarded it as stupid. This was the earthly, precisely. I parked in the lot behind the building and looked for suite number 8. I had to go up the stairs to find it. The second story deck put me in a new relation to the expanse of trailers, the suburban vacuity beyond. It didn't solve the mystery of what was tucked inside those gravel arroyos, though, or how the white fluff could be stuck to the mountains when there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Lady, you did this. You went west. Now suck it up. I knocked. Chapter 2. In case it isn't obvious, there's a detective in this story, but I'm not it. I had myself halfway cast in the role when I got on the plane, but no.